This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. The Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. And Mr. Donald Byrd asking that big question, where are we going? That's an old school thing, but it's relevant and timely. Again, thank you for joining me. And on my way in, I was listening to Polka's show, as I normally do, and hearing one of the callers had asked had some questions of things about Olelo and the goings on there. So I thought how coincidental this would be that I'm actually going to be speaking about coincidental, and believe it or not, have absolutely no planning, no coordination with anything. But I appreciate the presence of Olelo and its value, and so did the people that fought to get it established. So it is a public resource. It is a compensation for allowing cable companies. There's greater details, but there were issues of easements and utilities, and so the cable companies, as part of this deal to allow them in, it was to give back to the community. And Olelo, it affords, I mean, if you turn it on, you can see someone kissing their pig and celebrating their children's birthday, or it really is good to have. And what's going on there, though, there's somehow it's become political. And political from every angle. Political in that some of the politicians now find, local politicians find their way there. And mind you, yeah, it's their way of getting out and reaching out to the public. And but it seems, in my experience, that politicians now get first serve. They get to call the shots. And the board at Olelo, the executive board, is also problematic, and I will be talking about that. But I'd like to hear from any of you out there that have dealt with Olelo or have concerns or have had bad experience or good experience. I myself, I've had really great experiences in years gone by. I can't complain. There are a lot of things that I'd like to see them fix in their behavior. What I observed is that noticeably was during the elections, I found that I saw a number of the politicians appearing in different things, to include Luffy Hanneman and what have you, and so they used that. But there seems to be concerns in others, users of Olelo, people that actually produce and what have you, have raised concern and share with me. Take, for example, APEC wanting to film and do things there at APEC, but the public, one public person was told that she had to wait for certain things, and the wait was attributed to some of the staff at Olelo was actually there doing exactly what it is that she wanted to do, and so the resources were not available to her. So that becomes a problem. But what I want to share with you, and this is public knowledge, and some of you may know it, and you've probably read it in the papers, that the governor, when he had that mass exodus of staff there, he appointed James Borsima to be his communications director. Now, you know, we can't tell the governor who to pick, and if he want to pick the best of the best or the worst of the worst to represent him and, quote, communicating to the public his policies and administration and actions, no problem. But here's the problem. Borsima Borsma, however, and if I'm pronouncing it wrong, please don't hesitate to correct me. Borsma is not only the director of the communications for the governor, Neil Abercrombie, now. He's also the chairman of the board at Olelo. And I just want to tell you, again, this is me reaching out and looking because I'm concerned with public access. I'm concerned with the public's right. We don't need any more snipping and cutting and constraints on the public's voice anyway, because we really don't have one. We have one TV station, or we have three TV stations gobbled up by one company, and so now when you turn on the news, you see the same story at 6, 5, 6, and 9 or 10. So that's brings on some questions, and then you see the same thing. So we don't get the in-depth stories that we should be getting with such resources. And so the big question is why would the governor appoint Borsma and then Borsma remains as the chairman of the Olelo board? That's just me asking that question. And I attended a special meeting last week that was a board meeting, and they participated by phone, conference call. And the day before that meeting, I had actually contacted Borsma and asked him this question. Why don't you step down? Because it invites questions as to the issues of ethics and what have you, and conflict. And it's just simply the appearance seems to be, I have a problem with it as a public person. And he enlightened me and reminded me that he was an ethical person. He was a former colonel in the Army, and you know how that is. All colonels are honest people, and they've never done anything wrong and never been tempted. You know how that goes. So that was okay. I can accept that. But he proceeded to tell me that there was a meeting the following day, and he was going to actually, had actually put in for 4 hours of leave so that there wouldn't be any conflict in his participating in the board meeting at Olelo. So no problem. I'm not the police. I don't have to, if he can go somewhere and the governor says okay, no problem, and you know, I'm not watching the clock for him. But here's an interesting thing. So after being assured by Borsma that he was a former colonel in the Army or military, and that I, you know, obviously I should trust him then. You know, they never lie, never get into anything covert or surreptitious or anything. You know, they're upstanding. All colonels are, except for Colonel Ollie North. But then he was pardoned, so they're still all honest, I guess. But what developed here was when we talked to Borsma, everything was on the up and up, and he had assured me that he would take the 4 hours so there wouldn't be any conflict. He wouldn't mix his duties, and the public would be better served and wouldn't be ripped off. Well, I attend the meeting the following morning, and this meeting is about 10 o'clock. So we're sitting there, and it's all conference call, and myself and another public person sitting there, and we introduce ourselves. And likewise, board members. So Borsma chimes in, and he identifies himself, and then he asks, who's there? And who's in the meeting? Mind you, he's on conference call, and we're in the actual meeting room. And we identified ourselves, and immediately upon telling him that I was present, he had to tell us that, well, this meeting has to hurry up because I only got 5 minute break for this meeting. Now, here's a scheduled board meeting. It was a special meeting, but he knew of the time. He'd assured me that he would take 4 hours and had made sure that he would take 4 hours so there would be no conflict. So my question about ethics or about what in his right mind was he thinking, if he was thinking, that he would assure me 4 hours he'd take off so avoid conflict of abusive time. And then when he gets to call in and he identifies and know that I'm there, he then all of a sudden only has 5 minutes to participate. What kind of meeting is that? Was he being honest about it? I don't know. But then only 5 minutes? It took more than 10 minutes for each member to chime in, phone in, and introduce themselves. So you can imagine. That raises some questions about ethics. And I don't know if he's continued to participate, but they didn't have a quorum, and so by not having the quorum, believe it or not, they wanted to go ahead and have the meeting. So you might say that is not a big deal, and I'm making a mountain out of a molehill. But remember, it's public access. Remember, there's some reasons, and we'll get into it, knowing that Borsima has a history of and a background in doing the gambling, recruiting and lobbying for the gambling industry to be established here in Hawaii. So I don't know. I haven't looked at everything that Olelo has produced. But imagine, and this is only me speculating, I have that right to raise these questions. What if I am opposed to gambling, and I, as a person who's certified and a producer to air things on Olelo, that I wish to air something in opposition to the gambling that is proposed, that may be introduced? And the governor has indicated that he might be leaning toward that, or he has an open mind toward gambling. And then when you know that John Ratcliffe, the great lobbyist, and Borsima has had relationship, and now that here is this great resource, that two things can happen. I can be blocked, as the caller raised the issue early on Polka's show, how is it that certain things can have a number of shows available ready to be aired, but they won't air them? Could that same thing take place if you, the public person who wishes to air something on a level, would you be prohibited? Will the board prohibit it? Someone, as that call indicated, someone, if it's factual as he represents, is making that decision to not to air things that are objectionable to them. So this is where we now ask the question, Mr. Governor, Neil Abercrombie, what about the sacred grounds of public access? What about the sacred grounds of merely having an appearance of conflict that you basically have taken for granted? Because I can't imagine that a man could be your public communications director and then be busy with Olelo's business at the same time. And this raises the question, if you were to call the Ethics Commission, as I did, the State Ethics Commission, and you will learn that Borsima files a financial disclosure, but he does not have it, it is not available to you and I, the general public. It's confidential. So this governor, Neil Abercrombie, the great savior who wrote in on, I don't know what he wrote in on, but on something, we're still trying to figure out what's he here for. But he appoints this gentleman. And in doing so, I believe that because of the nature of Borsima's involvement in the gaming industry and the potential legislation and the necessary lobbying that may go on, that of all people, Borsima's records should be exempted and made open to the public. And and also that he be immediately asked to either resign from director of communications or resign from OLEVO, but not wearing the same two hats at once, or if he becomes involved in lobbying, that he resigns his seat in OLEVO, because how do we make sure that he does not use his influence as chairman to air, not to air, or to produce or encourage or to give others grants to give them the access? And you might think that OLEVO, it's not that much, but believe you me, there's a great many people that watch that. And in these moments of voting, and when the booth, if the issue is raised, they'd like to have everybody's agreement to sign on and accept the gambling. So there are some serious questions about this relationship that exists right now with the governor's office, Borisima, in the position of director of communications. And I know that many of you have read this. And if you look, try and do a Google or do a search, and what you might find is that you'll see Borisima was with the Unity House, and Unity House, he lobbied the gaming industry. But you will rarely find, and some writings indicate that he was associated with OLEVO. But the bigger picture is that I don't believe personally, as sitting here talking, and as well as a person who utilizes and respect the purpose and the intent of OLEVO, it's giving the people a voice, giving the public a voice, because it is our resource. It is something that was handed to us in trade for certain uses of utilities and easements and what have you by the cable companies. So here's the problem that gets bigger, and you're probably inclined to say that, boy, this guy had nothing to do this morning on Sunday to talk about this. No, I have a lot to do, but even the little things bother me. I would rather... I'm more comfortable knowing that if someone called me up and said there's a man outside of your house with a gun, I'm not going to be as fearful as I am when someone tells me, alerts me, that there's a man in government who's going to take my voice away. I'm more alarmed by that, because freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of media, freedom of all of that, taking that away is a painful, slow death. The guy out in the yard may go away, or he may be there just to show me his new gun. But the impacts of having an individual in government, and then in turn the governor appoints him to a high position, and then he has also at the same time holds a position as chairman of the public access television. Okay, so we move from there, and, you know, they say things come in threes. Here's the other element that raises concern and alarm in me. Now, again, this is about me and what it is that I know, that there are many things I'd like to get out, I find, and I'd like to share with the public, to educate the public. And I don't want any impediments that are not legal or ethical or unethical. So the governor appoints Borisima to his staff as director of communications. Borisima is president of the, or chairman of the OLEVO board. What if I or you wanted to file a complaint against OLEVO? Well, we could do that. Who do we file that complaint with? We can file a complaint. And we can file a complaint with the Department of Consumer Affairs at DCCA. Now, that's no big deal. You can file that. And don't bother to call, as I did, because you'll be told, oh, you need to file your complaint with OLEVO. Well, no, I'm filing a complaint about OLEVO or against OLEVO. Olelo, and I want you, the DCCA, to investigate and take an action. Well, okay, well, you can do that, but, you know, we would prefer you sending it back to Olelo. In other words, the guy that violated me, I'm now to go back to him or her and ask them to afford me justice. So, let's say I do get my complaint into DCCA and they accept it. Now, the director of DCCA is Kaylia Lopez. She was appointed by Neil Abercrombie. Is there any potential, and I'm not saying this has happened yet, because I don't know all the circumstances that lay out there, but what if I find that my rights are being violated there at Olelo, and I appeal to that board, and that board slights me, and I in turn appeal to and file a complaint with DCCA, am I going to be afforded the justice? Is my complaint going to be treated fairly? Because remember, the president or the director of DCCA now was handpicked by Neil Abercrombie, governor, and then she also was the CEO of Olelo. Now, I know, and it's fair for you to say again, you know, go ahead, Mr. Cox, and draw these conclusions. But they're really not conclusions. I'm just giving you concerns that I have and conveying them to you, and that something isn't right here. Something, and the potential for something going wrong is exponentially increased as we go from step to step. So, I don't know. The question was about airing some shows on Polka's show. I don't know if this is happening, but I can see that it is quite possible. And during this meeting, I spoke to the board and asked some of them to listen and ask, the Borsima to resign. And they, believe it or not, didn't want to listen. They listened, but they wanted to remind me that, one said that he used to work at KITV, Rosenberg, I guess, was the name, and then the other lady that chimed in said that she was from the real estate board or something. And I'm thinking, wow, these folks got professions that they should be working in, and in these times, do you have that much time to really be involved to that degree? So I believe that Neil Abercrombie, the governor, is stacking the cards so that he can spoon feed you or through Borsima, and then also deny you the opportunity to tell your own story as it relates to Olelo. You see, the regular media, you might be able to get something on if you want to talk about gambling and your opposition to gambling. You might get something. Or you might have to stab somebody and they'll be right there, because if it bleeds, it leads nowadays. So, or do something, commit a violent act, then you might get it. But Olelo, you don't have to do any of that. You can take your time. And it doesn't have to be a National Geographic production. It could be at your level, and you're afforded an opportunity to say and do and share with the public and express yourself in your own fashion. But if there is a team of people starting down from the chairman of the board who dictates, and you're saying, well, maybe it's stretching it. The people that work for Olelo is not going to step out in front of a moving bus and try to stop it to save your rights. They're just not, they got a job, and they're just happy to have their job. I haven't met a single one over there that will champion your cause for free speech. Not a single one. They are marching in step. They are a captive audience. They rely on an income from their being there. And there are some questions now about the handling of the material, the equipment, and all of that, and people are complaining. I think I've gotten, in the last week and a half, four different individuals who raises or express concerns with this Olelo. So it's not what it's appearing to be. And if you, back to this earlier person, if you're out there and you want to film something, and let's say the Pro Bowl, you want to go there, and you want to get a camera and you need to use the editing booth, and you're told, well, there's nothing available, and you might need some of the staff to help you. Well, they're not available. They're not available, possibly, because they're actually at the Pro Bowl filming, and there may be some politician who's going to benefit, who's going to be in all of that video to show their involvement. This is how Olelo has evolved. It's no longer just public access. You have to stand in line and compete with the campaigning politician or the gaming official or the governor who wants to get his own word out or to dampen the impact on or soften the blow of a negative article by preventing it from happening. And so I'm going to try and ask again the governor. I'm actually going to file a formal letter, and I was told that I could file a formal complaint, but again, it's like blowing in the wind. You're not going to really get anything. And so I bring this out and share it with you to say to you that there's something wrong here. And while we can't put our fingers on it now, but the big question is why does this relationship exist? Who will benefit? Politicians don't think about doing things so that it'll benefit people in general. They're always attaching their personal benefits to it. Good morning, caller. Come in a question.
Yeah, this may be a stretch, Carol, but the Nazis through Goebbels control the communications and the media, so they got the minds of the people. So in this case, which is possibly related, those who can control the media control the minds of the people. And so this could be what the governor's trying to do. You take, like, all the TV stations, no matter which station you listen to, KHON, KITV, or KGMB, they all broadcast in lockstep. We don't need three stations because all three stations broadcast the same propaganda. So this may be a stretch, but by even controlling Olelo, you have in some control over communications and media, and so you can exert control or influence on the public. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. That's really not stretching it. I believe that it's intentional, and when you can control it, you control at Olelo. There's whatever the population of people using Olelo represents a potential article that may not be so pro Neil Abercrombie, or it may be in opposition to a governor's policies or something. So you take that number of people using that, so the risk increases. I call it a risk, but the potential increases for the real truth to be brought out. Now, it may not be a Walter Cronkite that's standing there, or Dan Rather, or Katie Couric, or someone telling that story, but someone that is a producer at Olelo, or just a citizen who uses this resource, knows of something that's gone awry with the government and some problems, and want to convey that and put it into a video. When you look out at the audience, there could be 4,000 people. That's 4,000 potential stories that may have adversely affect governor's contrived policies. So, but if you control the level, you've gotten rid of the 4,000 potential stories that may enlighten the public to what's really going on. And then when you combine that with you have control where every day you send out a press release to the regular media, and if you notice, they're all there. And in some instances, I've seen even the newspaper here, they'll take a story and that I've broken a cover on air here, and they won't quote, won't refer or reference the originator of the article. They'll take the governor's press release and in most occasions just print it as is without any challenge. But imagine if you, at Olelo's, all of these people that could stand there and do an article or do a story or go on a show. So there are some serious issues out here. So just because I did this, because we don't really know, and we can't, as I say, again, all of Borsima's records, financial disclosure, this is per the Ethics Commission, State Ethics Commission, is not public knowledge on public information. He has to file it, but only they can see it, and you know how that is. The both state and city ethics agencies, or well, we'll just say we'll describe them with the small e in ethics. There's nothing, you can't get a straight answer from them. You know, they'll lawyer you to death. And with the shielding, but so and go and look up Borsima's. Just do a or state court records, and it gives you some idea. And I'll share with you. This is the basic things that I did in preparation for today's show and talking about it. Borsima is one of the owners of Zanzibar Partners, LLC, or was. Now, that one terminated. But, again, at that time, members of that group, and was manager, was James Borsima, Yuri Kim, Karatsu LLC, and CKS LLC. And I'm only doing this because if they don't want to make their public records, if the governor hired this dude, and then to shield him by not releasing his financial disclosures, then fair game. We have to try and piece it together ourselves. So the Karatsu LLC, it was terminated as well. They registered in December 31, 2003. And who was the owner of that? James Borsima and Noriko Borsima and Michael Borsima and Richard Borsima. So that one's terminated. That was a Karatsu. And then there is Zanzibar restaurant, or Zanzibar. Let me see here. I'm just thumbing through. You get Zanzibar nightclub. And its status is still active. And Zanzibar nightclub is owned by the registrant of that name, and that business is Mystic Works LLC. Now, Mystic Works LLC is managed by members, and the members are KAEW LLC, James Borsima, Noriko Hanai Borsima, and Yuri Kim. These are, and when you look at KAEW, members managed, and it's active, Charles T. Mitchell. And that is the, it's the agent name. And Mitchell shows up in some of the, for example, there's the CKS that he mentions as part of this conglomerate of what have you. And the CKS LLC is Charles Mitchell and Charlie Diegues. So, What does that mean? I just and I'll continue to look. And if you go online, you'll Google, you'll find quite a bit about Borsima, and you'll find quite a bit about the gambling. So I don't know now if he's going to be involved in the gambling this time around. But, you know, it bears watching. And at minimum, you should pull up a chair, get some popcorn, and when you see this discussion about the gambling coming to Hawaii, I'm saying to you, you'll at minimum be entertained. And you will get a chance, because it's something that's going to unfolding. You'll get a chance to see how crooked these dudes are and how they purposely and strategically place individuals in place, to include Neil Abercrombie, Joe Suki, Glenn Wakai, all of these people that have historically have supported this. Let's see how they pop up again. And if you go to see Neil's donations of campaign fundraisers and all, you'll see John Ratcliffe is right in there. Now, mind you, Ratcliffe lobbies for other entities or other issues, so we don't know exactly what the money was, but you give me $2,000, and then I was a governor or a potential candidate here in Hawaii. If I was consistent with the rest of these dudes, I'd say I'd be for sale. If, you know, you could buy me. I mean, that seems to be the normal practice here. You give a little money, and then you'll give the store away, the people's store away right away. But this Borsima merits watching. And I'm not paranoid. I'm just saying to you, at a minimum, you will learn something about Hawaii's politics. And there's absolutely no way that, in my opinion, that we should tolerate the presence of this kind of conflict, this simple triangle of love or triangle of influence that sits there waiting to be activated. And as individuals or users of Olelo, you'd never know. You'd have to fight this fight alone until a number of people come out bleeding or harmed or hurt or denied. Then that would be the problem. But Olelo has some real issues there, and I don't put it past what the caller early on the earlier show had called in and raised that issue. I do believe that they are not above, they there at Olelo, above quashing any effort to air certain products or certain video or certain stories or interviews. So you know, if you think you're getting the news and you like what you're getting through regular, then it may not be an issue to you. But again, this is many millions of dollars that Olelo, the people that manage Olelo, are contractors. They put in a bid. As you know, they were competing. They put in a bid for it. And they won the bid, so and they're doing the contract. The actual overseer is DCCA, pretty much. But if DCCA is controlled by the governor, and he wishes to do certain things, and then he has his director, who he appointed, Kelly Lopez, might be an invitation to trouble. So 524-1080, and you can get this information at carol@carolcox.com, and good morning, caller. Comment or question?
I know during the prior to the election, a lot of times producers were not able to get into the studio because that time was blocked off for all the different people running for different offices. And then I know I filed a complaint down at DCCA, and I was originally told by Glenn Chalk that I couldn't even file a complaint against Olelo.
Mm-hmm.
And then upon filing the complaint, after convincing him that I had the right to file a complaint, they turn around and the response now is, Orella will get back to me about my complaint. So I just wanted to air that.
Mm-hmm. Let me clarify this, because as I was trying to link you in, you're saying that you attempted to file a complaint at DCCA, and can you repeat that?
When I first went down, I went down in person, and Glenn Chalk came to the counter and continuously tried to discourage me from filing a complaint, even said to me that you couldn't file a complaint. And then when I convinced him that I had the right to file a complaint, he said and gave me, they sent me a letter, and the people that are going to respond to my complaint is the very people I had the complaint against, which is Olelo. And then my concern is their oversight is DCCA. They said they're not regulated, and the head of DCCA is the prior CEO of Olelo, Kelly Lopez. So it's like I'm spinning my wheels to even get my complaint fairly aired.
Mm-hmm. And I want to clarify, I'm not insinuating or saying that KLEE is an unethical person. I say the appearance, and basically now you're sharing your reaction or your experience with them. For me to call them up and ask these things and to be told, well, we don't know if we didn't ask him to file with as chairman of the Olelo board to file a financial disclosure form. So it just seems to be something contrived here. While the Ethics Commission say he has to file one, but they keep it secret and confidential. But you would think Olelo would have some rules to say if you have to file a financial disclosure or something. And Boris Heman does not need to do that. So,
well, it concerned me also that DCCA tells me that this is a public access steward, doesn't even have regulations, and then someone said that they don't even have to provide information. So if you go under FOIA or Sunshine Act, and I'm not sure which one, they said that Olelo is not privy to that. And I thought, my goodness, so who regulates and where's the transparency and the accountability here?
Mm-hmm. Well,
so it deeply concerns me because it continuously impedes my ability to produce shows and bring my freedom of speech and my freedom of press out to the public, to community.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess those that are interested, maybe you should raise an issue with the governor, because we don't want him to, he forgets and he's so busy that he just maybe need to be reminded by letter of complaint or to remind him that certain things are off limits. You know, politically you shouldn't be manipulating certain things. There's sacred grounds, and one of them is the freedom of speech and public access TV.
Yeah, you know, because it concerns me when as an individual, you know, Congress created this because of the telecommunications right-of-way. It's the way to give back to the community. But then when the cards are stacked towards government and nonprofits, and myself as an individual producer is continuously impeded, and there's no voice for me, it's a big concern. Mm-hmm. So I just want to thank you, and any further comment, I'll listen to your comment out there.
Okay, thank you. Well, let's go back to basics. Because Olelo is public access, we get to see the true colors in the peacock, so to speak. I enjoy sometimes just simply turning on the television and watching a family-filmed wedding or seeing the Samoan dancers at a park event or seeing the Micronesian people dancing, because we all know that right here in Hawaii we have a colorful a rainbow of people and a rainbow of cultures, So imagine just having that. And some of you say, well, yeah, the quality is poor. It's not about the quality of these shows. It is, you can learn, you can see, and in these shows, you can see some of the cultural things that are that people bring to the table here, whether it's from people from Chuuk or the Philippines, or, you know, to sit there and watch the Filipino dancers doing the stick dance, doing the holding the glasses. I mean, you get to go on a journey, but you're told you can't take that ride with this dude called the governor, who decides to sit and placate and circumnavigate this whole thing now. And maybe he's done absolutely nothing, but I need an assurance from him that he is as cognizant of these things and concerned as we are. And so silence in this case is deadly, especially when we see the placement of the DCCA chairperson or director, former CEO of that organizational level, handpicked by the governor, and then Boris Sima working for the governor as a deputy or a director of communications for the governor in a formal government position, then the chairman of it. I say that I smell a rat. And if I'm wrong, then I'll be the first to apologize. But the appearance and these elements are in place to defraud and deny the public of these opportunities. So anyway, I will be back in the next hour, and we're going to be talking about charter schools, and I promised a number of things, and again, the state has been delaying, but unfortunately, they've been busy getting articles out there. So I'm going to share with you some of the things that, and we're going to talk about the Hawaii Technology Academy, and conversations that I've had with people that were closely affiliated with that organization, the HTA.
Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. for The Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. It's so good. Nothing like good jazz and good little music. And you should look at this view out here. Looking over at the Poly now, you think you've died and gone to heaven, but you know better. You just live here. It's absolutely beautiful. So, can't believe all of this hoo-hoo or craziness goes on in paradise. But then, as I had a friend to tell me the other day, Hawaii has become a warm New York or a warm Chicago. And that's a sad commentary because, you know, I was watching the governor's speech or state of the state. And, boy, he can really lure you in with that aloha and pono and repeating what the native people told him. And then you think, once he leave that microphone, who is this guy? How does he surround himself with these questionable practices? How can he give equal time, or should he give equal time to the issues of education? Making it pono, you know, the Aloha spirit. Boy, if you listen to him, you think, put a little music to that and it'll be a number one seller for this guy. He's in the wrong business because he sings a good song. But I will tell you that when it comes to that, a man that's Pono and a man that is Aloha motivated wouldn't appoint a school board handpicked in a democracy. Well, forget that. We talk about Aloha and Pono and Ho'oponopono, but let's talk about a democracy, being democratic, being responsible, being transparent. And so you take the native ways and the native tongue, and then you act like, I don't know what you act like, but to name a school board. And then, as I reported to you before, the reason we're having so many problems with our educational system, and I mean problems, the people involved, I question their integrity. The people that get involved, down from the governor, the school board, all of them. There's no way anybody in their right mind could say they live in a freedom or a free nation, a democratic nation, and then turn around and participate in a process where you throw out a board that people voted for and then you go for one that is handpicked. And I know the governor was an educator and what have you, but I think if we look at the records, even when he was an educator, the rankings of the school system was low. But what I want to talk about now is the continue the conversation on the charter schools, and you saw the Lapa-Hoy-Hoy situation where three board members from the panel review committee quit because they were overruled by the hand-picked school board. And what this means, this is all about money. And my observations being that I see this, and I want to remind you that for the last 5 months, I have been met with nothing but resistance from the director of the superintendent of schools, from the governor's office, from the review panel, from the local school boards, and any other entity that is responsible for supervising or having oversight of the charter school system. And to be polite, I'll describe it as we say in the South, it's a mess. But I mean a really big mess. If I was a parent and I knew what I knew now, I would be at the doorsteps of the National Guard to someone and asking them to arrest every single individual. And I'm telling you, you take the Lapa-Hoy-Hoy situation where the people refuse to vote for and go through the legal process, and then they are overruled. There were people that were going to do the right thing and hold their feet to the fire, and they were overruled. You might take that lightly, but that's a grand commentary about the nature of this beast that we call education here. I saw the governor's response to the teachers, and I would like to hear from the teachers. You know, a lot of you got a lot to say, but you won't come publicly about it, and then you're refusing to say anything, but you're whining and moaning, and then the governor's beating you to death publicly by shifting the blame on you, that you voted for this thing and you didn't vote in agreement with Okavi and what have you. And you know the real story. This system is so dysfunctional. All of these things point to why we're low, low, low when it comes to education. All of these elements explain why the people with money, the directors and the supervisors and the legislators and all those people, they want to send their kids to public school. Some of them do, but a great many of them won't. Now, you know something is wrong with that picture when they refuse to send their own kids, but yet they're sitting there legislating and mandating certain things and handouts and taking the money. So the quality of people involved in this thing called education. The governor put the blame on the teachers. Well, yeah, the teachers should be evaluated and what have you. But again, he wants to hold a high standard when it comes to the teachers. And for the listeners that's new coming here to this show or didn't hear the particular show, I found out early on that even in the race to the top, this thing is so important that they appointed Stephen Schatz, the lieutenant governor's brother, Brian Schatz's brother, to effectively July 15, 2011, you are hereby informed that you are being transferred as the Kaimuki McKinley Roosevelt Complex Area Superintendent to the Assistant Superintendent of Strategic Reform, position number 79150. This temporary transfer is being completed pursuant to Superintendent Directed Transfer of School Code, blah, blah. You will return to your position at CAS upon completion of your assigned duties. Now, I spoke to Mr. Schatz and both of them, and the question that I had was, what are your qualifications? Well, someone said, well, the governor didn't know this. Yeah, the governor did know this because in a July 5th, and I've already reported this part of it, and it's at carolcox.com. You can actually see the letters and you can see Stephen Schatz's qualifications. And so Dr. James Butler receives a letter on July 5th, 2011 from Governor Neil Abercrombie. And explaining that Schatz was going to have the job. So he's haranguing and badgering the teachers and what have you for their evaluations and their qualifications, but he just handpicked, oiled this guy up and said, okay, we'll just slip you into that position. And when asked, what are your qualifications? Well, the superintendent, Matsuyoshi, know me and know my work, so therefore she's the one that vouched for me and basically initiated my appointment. That's wrong. And so we look at this and we see the charter school. Now, I'm going to talk about things at the Hawaii Tourism, Hawaii Technology Academy. I keep calling it tourism, and that's what it sounds like probably. But over in Waipahu, there's a couple of things. Now, there's a local school board for each charter school. And the HTA, the Hawaii Technology Academy, has a school board. And on that school board is a gentleman by the name of St. Cyr, Mr. Louis St. Cyr, right? And he is on the board there. I was chairman or president, whatever you call it, on that board. He is also, as recent as October 19th, simultaneously, October 19th, 2011, the minutes read, board members present. Mr. St. Cyr was absent, but he was the president of the Lanikai board. Now, I've attempted to contact Mr. St. Cyr for at least 2 months, and he will not respond when I contact the state education department. They tell me I must contact the local school board. Contact the local school board, no response. They tell me I need to call the review panel. Call the review panel, and you get something maybe a month or two later, and they drag their feet. So what I'm trying to tell you and share with you is that if you could only see firsthand, and I'll try to convey this to you, you'd be scared of the education system here. You think that this was intentionally set up this way because nothing can be that badly broken. And I wrote, for example, December 22nd, 2011, and now we're nearly ending July, January of another year, into another year. I've asked them for, to St. Cyr, this is a formal Uniform Information Practices Act for security camera footage captured by security cameras at the Hawaii Technology Academy School, Waipahu, and from December 1, 2011 to December 7, 2010. Now, please contact me and ask, and I give the phone number to call me at minimum. To date, I've heard nothing from St. Cyr. Nothing. I also gave this information, and I'm going to read some of the questions that I raised, and I will talk about the conflicts over there at this Hawaii Tourism Academy. And that is people, you know, that the principal at one time, or the managing director, I don't know what the official title was, but it was Piontek. And you saw in the news about 2 months ago, so he was removed, but they never told you why he was removed. And no formal statement of why he was removed. Well, I was able to talk to Miss Libra Ford, and Miss Libra Ford represented that she was the communications person for the Hawaii Technology Academy, that she also had dealings with them under the Utopian Academics for Military Children, a nonprofit organization, and just to name, she and her husband were on that board. And pulling up her papers, she and he are the only people that were actually on the board. And this is what she told me, that she, after seeing things going on wrong there, now this is nothing to do, the government won't respond. So I'm going to share with you what a person that has relationship with that organization, with the HTA, and other people that's on her board has relationship. So she tells me, Libra Ford, and I'm going to represent her statements to me. Others won't speak to them, but she tells me that, and she showed me a video, a security camera footage of Mr. Piontek and Miss Anna Matsumoto entering the academy property or building after hours, and she represented, allegedly telling me that he had been removed and ordered not to return to the facility. And the security cameras showed him entering the building, and the time lapse, and she explains it, and so you'll know always, I have her statements quite well preserved, and I'm basing these comments on her representation. And I'm still waiting for the state, because I understand in reading some of the laws and policies is that even though they are contracting with the state, which is K-12, the Attorney General represents them as well, the charter school. So it's a mess. But what happened is that I'm able to view this video. She shows it to me. And in this conversation, she tells me that, and she shows me, they leave, they come empty-handed, they being Matsumoto and Piontek, exit the building with large black plastic bags. She also represented that, and alleged that they were in there destroying records, and that she had reported this to others in the system. But the more hard-hitting one is that she now, and I want you to listen carefully, she explains to me, and I don't have any response from the government. They've been dragging their feet. They were willing to violate the laws of UIPA and on. So she tells me, Libra Ford tells me, that she initiated a sexual assault complaint as a third party with the managers of K-12 against Mr. Piontek. And she filed that complaint because she was privy to information for other women that had. Now, I don't have the proof, but I'm quoting you. This was the communications person who said this and who promised to, and she gave me the names, and she said that one of them, the lady, that the most recent one, and this is all preserved, I'll just tell you up front, her statements are well preserved, and if there's anyone that wishes to challenge, these are her statements. And if she is presenting false statements, then that speaks to the character and the quality of people that we have teaching our kids. So if she bothers to lie about it, if this is a lie as she's told, then what does that say about the system and the people that they pick? So she told me about the videotape, and I had my doubts, and she produced that, and I was able to see it. And she explained to me there. She told me about a check in the amount of upwards of $10,000 that was somehow spent, and she promised that one of the members on her board of her Utopian Academics would provide me a copy of that check that was made out to St. Louis schools by Mr. Piontek. I've raised this with the school board, the superintendent's office. I submitted questions to the state senator, Jill Takuda, and in their committee on December 19th, there was a meeting there, and basically the questions I had then were, asking Mr. Blake O'Shira, Mr. Abercrombie's representative now, of his involvement in K-12 and HTA. So this isn't about teachers, this quality of education. Governor Neil Abercrombie has some serious problems with the charter school system, and the entire Board of Education, the superintendent, and all of the entities involved in this are purposely hiding and concealing the real truth. When they had an opportunity to speak to the specifics as to why the departure of Mr. Piontek from that facility, from that school, it should have been told to the public. They didn't. Now, mind you, there were allegations, but the fact is that he was no longer there, and it was an abrupt removal or departure. So, at minimum, you want to protect Mr. Piontek's rights and not discuss personal things, but on the other hand, what about the rights of the people and their children and the school system? Well, the reason they're trying to hide this, when you got Race to the Top losing money, or potential threatened to lose it, and then you have the charter school system posing a threat to funding, you can see why it is, let's beat up on the teachers and hide the truth. And so this thing of this departure, I'm inquiring of the State Department of Education, the superintendent's office, and asking, so Mr. Piontek departed, and per Ms. Libra Ford and others, that Ms. Anna Matsumoto, the vice principal, would be rendering her resignation from that facility, from that school. But it didn't happen, apparently, or at the time that discussion was. But recently I have learned, and you've not seen any of this in the paper, or you've not seen the state come out and tell it, but Ms. Matsumoto is no longer there at HTA. So you had the head of the school, Jeffrey Piontek, who departed abruptly with no explanation other than, well, we can't speak to it, it's still under investigation. That's what the Department of Education told us. That's what all parties told us. And then now Ms. Matsumoto is no longer there, the vice principal. It is being now managed temporarily by Mr. Todd Thorpe, whom I spoke with, and he confirmed that Ms. Matsumoto was put on administrative leave from that facility. You haven't heard this in the news, but you did hear how the teachers
were not cooperative and how the teachers do this. And I feel guilty sitting here defending the teachers, because if they don't speak up, what kind of morons are they raising teaching our kids? If they don't have the respect for themselves to stand up and publicly speak, I wouldn't want them teaching my kids either. That's out to the teachers. I'm just going to tell you, if you can't stand up for your own rights, what are you instilling in the children that you educate? You need to start speaking up. You need to come from behind mama's skirt or whatever you're hiding behind and stand up for your rights, because if you don't, the quality of education that you're giving and participating in with our children is shameful. You can't let these kinds of things develop and then you don't speak out. You can make anonymous phone calls. You can do all kinds of things to get the word out. So while I do sympathize with your plight in that the governor has not been fair and bringing closure to the issues and giving you increases in salaries, but I think you, the teachers, bear some of the burden and the blame, because you won't speak up for yourselves. And in a democracy, teachers teach these things, self-worth, and teach the children and instill in them when something is wrong, they need to speak up. So in this case, continuing on with Ms. Lieber Ford, she, after telling me this, she gets a grant from K-12. So the big question is, who is watching the candy shop? And that's just what this is. It's a candy shop. Now, the rules are, this is per the Charter School Review Panel personnel and parties from the superintendent's office, that the contractor cannot be head of the school, cannot be a principal. He's a contractor. But in the case of Mr. Piontek, he was just that. And Ms. Ford goes on to tell me, and you might want to look this up, Ford, F-O-R-D-E. And please go and look up Utopia Academics. And what you will find is that she and others on her board have some other association with this HTA. And originally she came to me and called me up and said she wanted to talk and tell the truth. Now, I didn't know anything about this. And then she reneged for whatever reason and gave me a great many questions to ask and what have you. And I'm a firm believer. Anonymity is just that, you when you remain anonymous, but then when there's questions and you make statements about people and you represent things to be factual and you give me information and it plays out and pans out, but nobody does anything. I was told that there would be a press conference to the public to tell them and explain in detail what was happening with Mr. Piontek, and that would have occurred around the 5th of January of this year. We're now the 29th, and absolutely not a single word. And why did Ms. Matsumoto depart? I don't know her departure date. I've attempted to call around. I've left messages, but no one wants to comment on that, because that would reflect bad on the judgment. And at the same time, the Education Board, the State Department of Board of Education, overrules a review panel about Lapa-Hoy-Hoy. So why is the Board of Education not taking and being aggressive on the HTA? Because they want to conceal. And they have such a luxury. If today's paper, there's Matsuyoshi is talking about something, you know, and then there's an editorial about charter schools. But why don't we look below the level of this veneer that is being presented and understand how dysfunctional this entire process is. Now, I attempted to contact the people at K-12 on the mainland. And there's Mr. Packard, who's the chairman of K-12 Inc. And then there's Mr. James Konatz, who is in California office. And this is who Ms. Lieber Ford informs me that she filed the sexual assault on behalf of a woman, a third party, because she just couldn't take it anymore. And she filed it with Konat. And to my knowledge, no one has informed me any actions, but I wrote Konat on the 22nd of December and asked him and informed him, in addition to the letter containing allegations made by Ms. Ford, I sent to you earlier today, I realized neglected to include another allegation made by Ms. Ford. And the allegation is that Mr. Piontek was placed on administrative leave and ordered not to return to the Hawaii Technical Academy, Technology Academy, public charter school facility in Waipahu, after being placed on administrative leave. And other things, and K-12 has yet to respond. I have called their office. They acknowledge receipt of the questions. They have had no comment. And I recently spoke with Senator Jill Takuda, and you know, legislators are funny. They think that if you put in a good bill, and then you can stand up next week when you want to run for a higher office or run for office again, you can tell the public, oh, well, I sponsored a bill. And they don't tell you, I sponsored maybe 40 bills and not a single one of them made the first reading. But they like to sing that song. So I spoke with Senator Takuda, who's the head of the Education Committee, and reminding you, I've already sent her questions for her committee. And it fell on deaf ears. Then she tells me she would check to see, and I'm thinking, well, Senator, you should have grave concerns about this because these are things that impact not the legislative process. This is the children daily are being affected. What can we do to get something going and have an investigation? I was struggling to even get across to her that maybe she could file a request with the Attorney General, but instead she said, I'll ask the Attorney General to see what can be done. Now, this thing has been brewing for several months. They knew, at least for 5 or 6 months, that there were problems. They knew that there were issues and concerns being brought to them, that there was travel and allegations of abuse of travel funds and allegations of improprieties and improper relationships between the principal, the manager, Piontek, and Matsumoto, and yet did nothing. Other allegations that Ms. Ford brought to me and made, and she indicated that she had been meeting with the Attorney General and had given this as a complaint, that they were charging the students, some of the students, tuition for attending classes, in complete contradiction to what the rules are allowed. The charter schools, the kids don't have to pay the tuition. It's already taken care of. So what you have here is an attempt by all people in this entire process to avoid ever hearing the truth, to avoid ever investigating these things to find the truth, because they know this translates into loss of dollars. That's all they think about. They don't think about the rest of raising the quality of education with the students and the children and the quality of the education system. They're not thinking in those terms. They're thinking more like, well, Ms. Matsuyoshi, you can have this job. You sit in here. You're an attorney. But what educational values do you have? What background? What are you drawing from? So they put her in place. Then they take Shots' brother and put him in place. Then we have situations with Lapa-Hoy-Hoy. And then they overrule the commission that would, or the committee that would oversee that, that had already objected. And then you let HTA fester. And then, you, as if that wasn't bad enough, you then have the performance audit, as if you might recall, recently done and presented to this panel, Jill Takuda's panel, by the auditor. who gave a scathing report on the failure, and she only did 10 schools. And Takuda said, well, this is the complaint you're raising now is the things that the auditor was looking into. Well, no, the auditor was not looking into these details because they weren't available, as it was told to me. So if you think that you witnessed failure, I believe that the most appropriate thing, and I'm not lying to you, I believe that the state of affairs and the conditions that exist here in Hawaii in public schools education system rises to the level of having National Guards come in and take over the schools to ensure that they start hiring. I'm serious. Because no one is taking it serious, and every problem that exists, they cover it up, and then they ask for more money. And the feds are just as guilty and as complicit in this, because they've threatened them now for the last year and a half, maybe. If you don't do it right, we're going to take your money. If we don't, it's almost like the rail, you know. And then the feds come to town, and they slide in, and they're secretive. They don't come to the public. They don't meet with the public. They don't tell the public and the parents that they're going to be here so that the parents can express themselves and give the true picture. So much for this effort by the, quote, Democrat Party, who's going to look out for the little man. I'm going to tell you something. It's bad, folks. It's bad. I mean, circumstances where the principals, certain principals, smoking dope, hanging out with the girls, and they still get to keep their jobs. You see one stealing money the other day, another principal, Waipahu, the principal. You figure that out. I'm telling you, if I'm misinformed, I was told that Race to the Top, 75 million, charter schools had a large bond, $150 million possibly. I don't know. I've asked the state for the exact amount, but, you know, they drag their feet. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yes, sir. As a state taxpayer and an ardent listener to your program, I just want to thank you for being the kind of person you are. That is investigative kind of work and brings out the political and educational work. But the political and educational systems, the cronyism and nepotism that exist in these systems. And listening to your program today, I'm trying to think of so much that you're talking about. You said it so comprehensively. I'm sorry I wasn't able to take in everything. But with this Jeffrey Pontek and this Anna Matsumoto and the way that's seemingly being covered up under the rug and you're not being given documentation that you need, and also this Ford, Leaper Ford, bringing forth information that you preserved and not following through. It seems like she was exposed when she went to the third party, went to the power that be and brought the sexual harassment complaint at the third party person. Mm-hmm. So she was exposed then. So why she didn't follow through with you and help you connect the dots, which you diligently, finally did, I don't understand that. And just as again, as a taxpayer and as a gentleman who has children in the public school, you're right. There's something wrong with teachers that don't want to be rapidly drug tested. I don't know how they can get away with that. I have to be drug tested occasionally, and I work in the private sector. These people teach our kids. Another point I'd like to make is that one of my children had a project which required the child to get certain chemicals that I don't think, and other materials I think the school should have provided, and it wasn't provided to her. So I really don't want to go off on a tangent. I just want to tell you that I really appreciate what you do as an investigator to bring the truth to all of us here in this state. Mm-hmm. Because it's so surely lacking. And again, thank you so much for all the work that you do.
All righty, well, thank you. See, Speaking of Ms. Ford, and you want to give everyone the proper respect, and I toil with this, how to approach this. And in doing so, and while doing it, I'm seeing these articles that are coming out, and they're soft-selling the issues and on charter schools, and they tell you that the federal government is coming to town and is going to hold their feet to the fire. But you never hear anything. You don't hear a statement from the federal government with specifics and specific actions. They give you a lukewarm... Well, they don't give you anything, to be honest with you. They had a conference call, but it was to a select few. While I was interested in, and I've asked the federal government, now the Department of Education under Arne Duncan, and on these very issues, and it was raised to the top and some other things that they supposedly come over and issued an ultimatum back in November. I was able to talk to the media people, told them what I wanted, and to this date I've got nothing. Yet they say, oh, we share your concerns. And I tell them, yeah, but I'd like to be able to educate the public and get the real truth out, the real word out, was what's going on. They, too, are complicit in stalling and delaying the information, but then they slip into town. And they had a press conference, certain media would be invited, and I had asked them to provide me with any information from that date on that would involve their actions and their governance over the charter schools and the race to the top. I was ignored, even while I had made about 9 phone calls and spoken and sent emails with specifics and specific requests. So there is something going on here that... I'm not kidding you. $150 million in education in a failing system is enough to bring out the police, SWAT team, and the National Guards, because ultimately it's going to impact the children, and that's just not right. It's not the democratic process. I mean, some of you might object that government shouldn't be given public education. We'll take that up at a different time. But because they do, and they should, something's wrong here. This democratic process, and I'm hoping, I can't wait to see the firefall come from this, the Republicans taking on these issues and holding the Democrats, because the whole thing is rotten. And I'm telling you, cover up, cover up, cover up on the part of Abercrombie, the administration, the Senate, the House. They know, and they have the right to call these people in and nail their feet to the floor and make them talk or be fired and be charged criminally. Good morning, caller. Come in a question.
Yeah, Carol, who's in charge of the House for the education right now?
I don't, Takai, I don't really know. Let me see here. I have the...
It's not EGAN.
The House, wait here, committee members, Takumi was a chair when I sent this letter in. Representative Della Al-Bilotti was a committee member in the House. Jill Takuda is a chair of the Senate, and Michelle Kadani was vice chair.
And Jill Takuda is on the winner's side, right?
You're right.
Okay, she's in my district. I got to really get on her case. What's concerned about the military schools on the base schools?
Mm-hmm.
They can't. A lot of parents up there in the military are kind of upset with the state.
Right. And I reported on that and the quality of the schools on the military where the feds are that's another pot of money being given.
Right.
And so somebody's robbing us, my friend.
Yeah. You think that the Pentagon will get involved and maybe change the status of the schools on bases?
No, I think that what we have here is that, and mind you, I'll tell you and make this declaration. Seeing Barack Obama, the president, is something moving and more stirring than anything. I support that. But these policies and this laissez-faire mindset,
I believe they are focusing, and we should focus on the wives and military families and like the First Lady championing their cause. But the ultimate, the bigger problem is that allowing the state to defraud the people that's serving in the military and defraud their children of a fair education, a good education, and quality education.
Right.
That's, I think it is a conspiracy in the grandest sense within the Democratic Party, because the Fed should have immediately said, enough already, we're taking your money. In fact, the conditions are already out there, and the facts are there. The state of Hawaii should never have gotten the money
right.
from Race to the Top. That's been proven. It's been laid out, and they got it unfairly, and then they can't deliver, and they're still dragging their feet. So I call it a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
And these minds at a meeting to continue to impact the public is wrong.
Right. Just throwing money into something that's not working right.
Yeah, like give your brother, if you're the lieutenant governor, give your brother a job that makes more than $100,000+ and he administers all this money, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then hire a superintendent of schools who's a good lawyer, but no assets, she's a good educator.
Uh-huh.
You follow?
Yeah, doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and I, again, you know, I say that the people out there should raise holy hell at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Something's wrong.
Right.
Something's terribly wrong.
Okay, Carol, thanks a lot for all your work.
But yeah, get in touch with Takuda, because I tell you, she reminded me of someone that liked flying, and says she's now in the seat of a Raptor jet fighter, and she's afraid to pull the lever.
Uh-huh.
You know. Something's wrong here, and it's not going to go anywhere. They're going to build more bills and legislation, but guess what's going to happen?
Right.
Nothing.
Okay. I'll give her a call tomorrow.
All righty. Thank you. Aloha. But anyway, folks, I'm sick and tired of you. When we find, they don't tell us, and when we find out and we try to exercise our rights to become informed, then they snooker us and clamp down the hatches and violate the law and public records. Absolutely wrong. And I hope that, I don't care if Mickey Mouse become president next term. I think that on the current path and the trend that we're seeing here, we won't have children that can think for themselves, reason for themselves. We will have people that the only way of resolving conflict or issues resorting to violence, and there are a great many of these examples right now, and so you're going to be adding to the problem by failing to educate. A little education will go a long way when kids are presented with a stressful problem. They can reason, they can rationalize, and they can say it's not worth it. But if they're dumbed down, and the money is spent, and now everybody traveling. Look at the travel budget. If you go back and ask for Schatz's travel budget, and the superintendent there, the school, look at the travel budget. Look at the training. And why are they training if they can't go in and do things that is right, that will handle these issues and build a better education system? And I still want to see what is going on with the HTA. And I'm going to be writing a formal letter to Washington now, asking that all of this, that K-12 be removed. They shouldn't be involved in our educational system here based on the fashion and manner that they've been handling things. And there are a great many other things that Libra Ford presented to me. And as I say, just know that while I didn't give you all the details, but I've made sure that I preserve her statements, and they can't be refuted. And if she does, then we'll ask the question, who hired you and who let you in the front door that you have that caliber, that you're willing to sit and disseminate bad information, false information, making allegations of people traveling and abusing the travel authority and using the money and sexually assaulting people.
How dare you be a part of this educational facility? Who let you near our children? But I know factually, based on the things that she's told me and the information, that it is consistent with the truth. And as she has said regarding the video of them going inside, that in itself is a crime, not an administrative problem. That's a crime. So anyway, I'm hoping that you're not misled, and if you go to the paper today and you'll see they talk about all these issues, and I think by now we've seen more write-up on the charter schools and what have you, but they've never, ever gone to the hard-hitting points of this issue. So next week I'm going to bring on a couple other people, and I've asked Panos Prevedoris in the coming weeks to come on, and Cliff Slater, and I'm hoping, I want to see what, I don't want to turn to politics, but I want to see, I'm interested in this issue with the mayor campaign, because I'm going to tell you, if I wake up another day and see another water main break and what have you, I'm going to pull my hair out. I'm just going to call myself nuts for sitting around. You know, it's bad. And by the way, I told you a while back I had asked for the private contracts, the basic service contracts, and Carlisle's office told me it would cost me about $6,000. Well, I'm going to share those and place them on my website. I was able to get them. I didn't spend the $6,000, but that tells you what Peter Carlisle is about. The man is still a prosecutor and not a legislator, not a mayor. He is a lawyer. And I'll get that out to you folks, and I'll be posting it on carolcox.com. And I'll see you next week. Aloha. Thank you.
for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show. Heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show.